For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, December the 26th, 1979. Midwinter camp meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Brother David Bunch, Sr. of Van Nuys, California, is teaching the deliverance class this afternoon.
Pitting this afternoon for Brother Worley, who's still up in the air somewhere, and his plane's been delayed. But we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. Brother Glenn and I have something very, very much in common. That is that I was booted out too, Brother Glenn. I was a Baptist minister, pastoring a Baptist church, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. When I started meddling, I got out into a Pentecostal church and was on the platform. And right there in front of everybody, I said, well, I'm not ashamed of what is of God. If you people have got something that's real, you pray that I get it. And those crazy people bowed their head and all started praying right then. And in just about 2 or 3 minutes, right in the platform in front of everybody, this Baptist minister came unglued, and so did the whole congregation, as God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And so, consequently, I went back to my church, and I preached about it, and they said, oh, Brother Bunch, that's wonderful. My, that's wonderful. And then between then and the following week, they found out it was Pentecost, and they had a meeting during that time, and when I came back that Sunday, they didn't want me anymore as a pastor. So, and then the church, the Baptist church, where the individual Baptist church is licensed and ordained and so forth, and the church that had the papers where I had received my credentials to preach called me in, and they proceeded to get rid of me. Maybe I'll preach that and tell you about that some night. But they proceeded to get rid of me, and so then I was without a denomination, and I was without a church. And then later, somebody came along and started meddling in that Baptist church, and now they dance in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. I was just born out of season, is all, you see. And because that was almost 30 years ago. And Glenn was sort of booted out of the church I'm pastoring now, and you see, I came along later and meddled. And now we dance in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit, and we have deliverance services, and we cast out demons, and we preach the last day ministry and deeper walk and all of these things, the truths of the last day. So now I can go back to my Baptist church, and Glenn can come back to that church. By the way, it's no longer what it's in the denomination. It's now an independent church. And this is what God is doing in this last day. He's bringing a people out of a people. You see, it has always been of separation, a time of separation. And maybe one night this week we can preach on that, or one time during this time. Jesus said, you think I've come to bring peace? I've come to bring division, the Bible says. And sometimes these things are hard to take. But this afternoon, we want to speak concerning deliverance. Brother Lee set me on fire this morning with his fine Bible teaching. I always enjoy his ministry, and we have a very close fellowship when he comes home, because he lives right there close, and we can be close enough that we can phone one another and talk to one another and fellowship together, and we just enjoy this newfound liberty. I pray that if you're visiting, that you will allow God to begin to talk to you and speak to you concerning these things of the last days, these truths that truly are all the way through the Word of God. The Bible is going to set a people free, or the truth is going to set a people free. And if we are going to be amongst those, we're going to have to be open, receptive to the leading, the teaching of God. And so many have closed their minds and closed their hearts to these things, to the things of God. We are so freely critical of those that stop in the outer court. We say, why can't they see the baptism? Why is it that they won't go on? Why is it that they're content to stay in the outer court? Why, we've experienced not only the feast of the Passover, but we've experienced the feast of Pentecost. All of the feasts are significant. It's quite a Bible study in itself, but there are three major feasts. And then we are content, Pentecostal people are content to camp right there, to be content to stay right there. And we are find ourselves as guilty as they, on a different plane, but more guilty, for to whom much is given, much is required. And so consequently, we say, oh, my. And we refuse to go on, and yet God is still moving on. You see, the tabernacle, the way of the Lord is in the sanctuary. The way of the Lord is in that temporary building, and it keeps on moving. It's a portable tabernacle. The stays are in the ark. And the stays will not be taken out until it is in the final temple. And the temple is a shadow of the reality of that that's in heaven. You want a beautiful Bible study. We have so much work to do with the sword and with the spear, as Brother Lee spoke about this morning, that we haven't got time to get on to the temple. We've been studying about the tabernacle and teaching the things of the tabernacle. But the reality of what we're going to be and what is going to be in heaven is found in the picture of the temple. It's a beautiful, beautiful study. And the outer court, the court of the women. And see, even now, see, you start to nudge off from these things and they get you excited. Glory be to God. I feel like I know some of you remember, and I don't really just put pictures. I wouldn't confess to that. But remember when the fire engine was drawn by the horse? Huh? And when he heard the bell, I don't care if he's retired and out in the pasture. When he heard that bell, he starts running. And I tell you, once you get a hold of that reality of this last day, just don't ring the bell. This morning, I held on to both hands on the seat when Brother Lee was teaching. I wanted to jump up and say, I wanted to add two. And there's no way in the world you can teach the whole thing at one time. There's no way you can nail off. Do you realize the problem in teaching this? Some of you right here are babes. You're like the kindergarten. The nursery. Other you are in the adult class. Some in the intermediate class. And did you ever try to teach Sunday school and teach the babe and the adult same time? Only the Holy Spirit and the patience of those that know and the hunger of those that don't know and the moving of the Holy Spirit keep it all moving together and allow us to be together and learn together. And so for those of you that say, oh, I've heard that before, be careful. Be careful. Because always God unveils new truths or illumines something or quicken it. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Now this morning, and I'm going to take Brother Lee's text this morning. Is that all right? Just for a springboard. By the way, I can spring farther now than I could the last time I was with you. Amen. Thank you. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. For those of you that don't know what's going on, I don't fill the pulpit quite like I used to. I've lost 238 pounds now. And so I'm just a shadow of my former self. I really didn't lose it. Now, people think I've lost it, but I brought it along with me. He's my son, but he might be that I lost, you see. He's just about that big and just about that size. But anyway, it's good to have my son, who's my assistant pastor, along with us. I want you to, we're going to many places this afternoon, and I want to just use a portion of Scripture here that Lee gave, but I want you to look also in Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and then a portion of Scripture in the 31st chapter. The Isaiah, the 28th chapter, says, to whom will I impart knowledge? To whom will I give wisdom? For it must be line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Tradition tells you, oh, brother, don't take it out of its context. But God, the Holy Spirit, plucks it here and plucks it here and puts it together, just like he does our singing in the Spirit. He takes that old raspy voice that can't sing for nothing and that high soprano, and he puts it all together in that orchestration of harmony and glory unto God. And God in this last day is taking just exactly that. He's teaching those with stammering lips in another tongue deeper truths. In the 30th verse, the 8th chapter, the 8th verse, it says, "Now go and write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seer, see not, and to the prophet, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit." Beloved, this is so true in the hour in which we're living, because man does not want to have his little nest stirred up. But the eagles will have their nest stirred, and they will move on into a deeper walk. But those that are at ease in Zion will be content to say, don't bother me with those things. Don't bother me with the truth. I already know what I believe. In essence, that's what they're saying. And here they say that, God says they're a rebellious people. They're lion children. And they don't want to go on. They don't want to be bothered with the things of God. And so they say to the prophet, they say to the teacher of this last days, they say to those that are bringing out the last day truths and bringing out and speaking on deliverance, talk to us smooth things. Don't prophesy unto us truths. Don't tell us the truth. Over in the 4th verse of the next chapter, notice what it says, "For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as a lion and a young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him." Who is called forth against this lion? A multitude of shepherds. Jesus Christ wasn't persecuted by the sinful world. He wasn't even really persecuted by the children of Israel, the flock. He was persecuted by the shepherds. Come on. And he says, here, like a lion, and he's comparing these prophets, these seers that have the message, that are over-roaring over this prey, this new food that they have to eat. These new truths that have become a reality, they've become their food and their nourishment. He said a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, but he will not be afraid of their voice. It's going to take courage to walk in this last day ministry. It's going to take courage to claim deliverance and claim the last day ministry as it's being preached. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. They say, you've gone off the deep end. Heresy, heresy. God works with and confirms his word with signs following. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is the man-child. Mount Zion is this last day ministry. Mount Zion is the overcomer for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the church. Within Jerusalem is Mount Zion. He's going to defend. Defending also, he will deliver it and pass over and preserve it. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. What is the church? It's that soma. It's that inner body of spirit-filled people that have gone on in the way that God wants us to go. Now, we are living in this day and age when God is bringing forth truth. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It demands a leading, not a comfort, not a patting on the head, not a condoning or complacent attitude, but a leading. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God is taking us in this last day into the promised land. And we must conquer and destroy the inhabitants of that land. We dare not compromise. We dare not compromise with these that we find inhabiting that land. Now, where is this promised land, you say? Well, that we are to set free this land we are to set free is you. It is me. It is a land that was occupied and possessed and controlled by the enemy. And as the children of Israel were called out of sin to journey into a promised land, we also called out of Egypt, out of sin, are to enter into a promised land and to possess that land, to bring to death the inhabitants of that land. A message not freely received that the church cries, prophesy unto us good things. Don't talk to us about our needs. Why? We're the children of God. Certainly we are. But if children, then let us be obedient children. Obedience is better than sacrifice, the Word of God says. And so the land that we must set free means we will engage in warfare. It means there's a battle. In the Old Testament, those in the land were the Amorites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Moabites, the Canaanites. They were those that possessed the land. And God said, kill them. Do not let any of them live. Another message that we will preach now or another time that you will hear is about killing your cousins. If you go back, you'll find that those that inhabited the Canaan's land, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Hivites, were all a part of the family of God originally, but had gone astray. They are the product of Ishmael, the Ishmaelites, and so forth. And so, when we come into this land, we dare not compromise with them. When Achan compromised, everybody else in Israel suffered because of them. And the church is suffering today because of that compromise. Because of the Achans in the land, because of those that want us to prophesy good things. Because of those that do not want to pay the price to be what God wants them to be. Don't you tell me that you love God and you want all God. As for me, you put limits upon what God can do or what God has to do in your life. Don't tell me that you've arrived, for the proud he knoweth afar off, and you think you have no need. He that doesn't have a sense of his own need has a weakness in his sense. Do I have to run that again or some of you, huh? Or shall I say it this way? It's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, let's let the Word of God speak. You see, they could go no further until they conquered Jericho. And there's some walls of tradition in our lives that need to be broken down. There's deliverance in our lives that we need. Obstacles, walls that are keeping us from the power of God, that are keeping us from being a full channel, a full flowing vessel for the glory of God. I want you to turn with me into Timothy, if you will, 2 Timothy, starting with the 19th verse. 2 Timothy 2, 19, nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Go down to the 25th verse. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Our text here, everyone who nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. The Bible says himself bore our iniquities. In Psalms 32 and 5, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. It can't read the sin of my sin. You see, the iniquities are the inhabitants of the land. Iniquities are the demon powers and forces that occupy and that possess this promised land, this fleshly body of ours. Over in Lee's text this morning, in Zechariah, and I want to refer back to that scripture, if I may, in the third chapter, and we'll go back to Timothy, so hold your finger there. In the second verse, starting with the first verse, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And a beautiful message this morning. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this the band plucked out of the fire? And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. It wasn't until Isaiah cried, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, that he was delivered. And until you acknowledge, beloved, and be honest with yourself, you're not going to find that conquering of the promised land. You're not going to find that full flow of God through your life. You're not going to find yourself as a channel that can truly and completely be used as God wants you to be used. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquities to pass from thee, and I clothe thee with a change of raiment. Now, if we were going to study on the last day ministry and this called out people, we would certainly talk about the feet area, wouldn't we? And the washing of that feet area. The last thing to be born in natural birth are the feet, and the last thing to be born in the body of Christ will be the feet area. And it is the feet area of that body of Christ that's still on the earth. The head is in heaven. His name is Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the head of that spiritual body. The hand ministry, we've enjoyed the hand ministry. And we are still right now, still in that hand ministry. But there comes a time, beloved, when God is going to begin to wash the feet. The washing of the water by the Word. The Word will set them free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And they will begin to be cleansed in God. So one of the prerequisites for the full-flowing plan of God is a deliverance. Is a taking away or purging God's children of the force and power of iniquity. That force that causes us to sin, that works in us. A lot of people are prayed for, and they wonder why they haven't had a healing, or they get a healing, and a little time later, they say, oh, I lost my healing. You didn't lose your healing. A healing is a restoring of that has been damaged by the enemy. In other words, if he has damaged the liver, God can restore and heal that. But you need deliverance to get rid of the thing that caused the damage. And then Satan begins to work again on that afflicted part, and then the symptoms begin to come back because he's starting to afflict again, and you say, you've lost your healing. You haven't lost your healing. God healed it. But you need deliverance. Now, many times when you're prayed for healing, you get deliverance at the same time. But not necessarily. The ministry of deliverance is absolutely essential to your continued growth and maturing and being what God wants you to be. And the only thing that keeps us from it is pride. Let me tell you, let me speak boldly and frankly, I've been in the ministry for 30 years now, right at it. And I'm still yielding to God for deliverance. When I came here, a nervous spirit. Lee said that all of those that can be pressured, Satan is there to buffet Joshua. I've gone through some of the hardest times in my whole ministry in the last few weeks. But he hasn't got the victory. See, he tried to come back with that nervousness, but you reckon it. You know the truth. And you get rid of that you once had. You don't allow it to come back. You don't allow Satan to lie to you and to work on you. Now, we are living in a day when we need to know these things if God's church is going to move on into the deeper things. If we are going to be cleansed, we have to yield ourselves to cleansing. God never forces you. God's not going to force you to get down and seek victory over that thing. If you've prayed about it, if you've sought God about it, if you cried unto the Lord about it, if you fasted and prayed and it's still there, then it's deliverance you need. You know, we've preached for years, it's the old man, it's the old flesh. Man, sure it is. But if you can't kill the old man, then it isn't the old man. And we can deal with the old man very freely and readily at Christ, at Calvary. I am crucified with Christ. I die daily. I can take my problems, if they be my problems, and God freely has met the answer at Calvary. But he's also met the answer at Calvary, but not by me going there, but by using the power of Calvary to cast away that sin that does so easily beset me. That besetting sin that I can't seem to be the conqueror over, the victory over, is a demon power. All right, let's go back to our text. It says that the iniquities set us free. Thou forgavest the iniquity. Himself bore our iniquity. Our scripture says, let everything that nameth, the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Separate yourself from the iniquities, from the satanic force and power that is to bind you. In verse 20, now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Did you hear what I said? Not in an evil house, not in a small house, not in a backslidden house, oh, we like to relegate it there, but it says in a great house. In every house. In every house there are vessels of gold. In that house now, there are vessels of gold and silver, but there are vessels of wood and earth. Vessels of dishonor. In every house. I said in every house. No wonder God says to the proud, he knoweth afar off, and let he that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. No, don't misunderstand. The closer you get to God, the smaller are the things he has to deal with in your life. But deal with them, he does. Sometimes it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Sometimes it's the little things. That knife that you ladies use in the kitchen. Now, my wife likes a paring knife. She doesn't like it real sharp, because she's always slipping and cutting herself. But the butcher knife, she wants it, and so she just lays it on there, and it just goes right on down. And there's a difference between the two. If you're going to be a sword, a knife, if you're going to be really that final calling of God and what God wants, it takes a honing, it takes a final little Arkansas stone to do the job. And even there's a difference in the stones, isn't there? Some that are a little rougher that give you one grade. Beloved, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, if you're going to be a part of the man-child, a part of the third veil, you're going to be washed. You're going to yield yourself to washing. Peter said, oh, no, Lord, you're not going to wash me. He said, if I don't wash you, you won't have any part of the kingdom. Now, it's not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes, beloved, it hurts. Now, if you're content to be a vessel out in the parking lot, well, maybe you've already arrived. Bless God, there doesn't need to be any more refining in your life. But if you want to be in the vestibule, well, maybe there's a little more protein. You know, I'm sure if that old piece of clay could talk, it says, oh, no. And then it says, oh, it hurts the good. And then it says, it feels good when it quits hurting. Huh? But maybe that, are you content to be there, or do you want to be what God wants you to be? Do you want to reach that high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Is your soul truly crying out? Then let God refine and let him put the limits upon what we need. Let's quit saying we've arrived, we've arrived, we've arrived. Let's let God keep us on going and on going and on going. Amen? Glory be to God. Well, it says in every great house, there are vessels of gold and vessels of silver, and also wood and earth. some to honor and some to dishonor. And then listen to what it says in the 21st verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, from what? Well, certainly not the gold and the silver vessels. They're unto honor. But if a man will purge himself from these, you know, we get into this little kick of saying, oh, it's not me, it's the Lord. God uses vessels. God moves through you. If you were really dead to self, you wouldn't have to even be declaring that. You see, lots of times your mouth, well, your slip showing. Many times we reveal more than we want to. I thought if I could ever invent it, I'd make a zipper for the lip. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, my. I saw a man on board airplane, and he was obnoxious, really. But he'd have been a good-looking... He was a good-looking fellow if God hadn't made him all mouth. And let me tell you something, beloved. The Bible says we are snared by the words of our mouths. We are taken captive by the words of our own mouths. And the minute you say, well, not me, well, then you've indicted yourself and restricted what God can do in your life. And until you become like Isaiah and say, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, you're not going to have the coals off the altar to do what God wants to do in your life. And so it says, if a man will purge himself of these. Some people are hesitant to dance in the Spirit because they want some God to come and tap them on the shoulder or something. You'll never be used of God. David said, I will dance in the Spirit. Paul said, I will sing in the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding. You take a hold of the nap of this old fleshly man and make him do what he's supposed to do. The flesh warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. A lot of you would love to get out in the aisle and just let God have his way. But the flesh says, oh, you make a fool of yourself. You've been fooled long enough, just will be one for Jesus. Oh, I love you. Don't get mad at me. Some of you are smiling and some of you are frowning. Everybody smile just for a minute. I want to know I'm going to get out of here alive this afternoon. All righty. Amen. The only difference. Listen, let me tell you. We clap our hands for a politician. We clap our hands for a comedian. We clap our hands for the Lord. What is the difference? It's the object behind it. The clap is no different. It's the purpose. You say, well, I danced in the world. All right, then dance for Jesus now. But telling me that you can't do it, you did it for Satan. Do it for the Lord. Do it for God. And we could, whoa, we could go with this one. Sure. A lot of you didn't mind getting so drunk you made a fool out of yourselves and put the lampshade on your head and all of the other things. But you're afraid that you might embarrass yourself for the Lord. I done stopped preaching and started meddling. Glory! Well, if a man will purge himself from these, the wood and the earthen vessels, the vessels of dishonor, then he will be a vessel of honor. Then he will be meet for the master's use. Is that what it says? How many of you would like to really be used of the Lord? Like God to flow through your life in the anointing, the word of God, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. You let God to work through your life. Well, then purge yourself. Start with the fundamentals. Take each rung of the ladder. Do I have any good Baptist people here today? Bless your heart. I was a Baptist minister. So, now, during the revival meeting, during the time here, I'm going to preach on the United States, Great Britain, and Soviet Russia in the light of the Word of God. And I'm going to talk about Catholicism. And I'm going to talk about Protestantism. And if I leave anybody out, then I'll apologize. All right? But, you see, in the realm of the Baptist, I always was taught that prophecy was foretelling, therefore it was preaching, and that tongues were the least of the gifts. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, how could my whole denomination have nobody on the bottom rung of the ladder? How in the world did everybody skip that ladder when Jesus said to those that wanted to know, by what authority doest thou these things? He said, the baptism of John, whence was it? He took them back to the first truth, and when they refused it, he said, neither tell I you. You see, and they wouldn't tell him because they feared the people, or if he said it was of God, he'd say, why didn't you believe it? And so he rejected it because of that. You see, well, they said, well, if you're speaking in unknown tongue, you ought to be somebody there that interpreted. On the day of Pentecost, there were 14 people there that understood the different 14 different languages. Well, that's good. I've been in services where messages would come in French, and there were people there in French that understood it. I know missionaries where they talked in other languages, and it was other language. But, beloved, if you have to be there and know, then why did God call it the gift of interpretation? Why need a gift if we know it? And why did God call it an unknown tongue? Let's take each rung of the ladder. And let me tell you, deliverance is part of that progression. These signs shall follow them that believe. Doesn't talk about a sinful church or a sinful vessel. It's talking about in a great house. Talking about the house. Why would God turn around and deliver somebody of a demon of epilepsy that is unsaved and then leave a Christian with a demon of epilepsy and leave them there suffering with that terrible force and power of Satan? We had a lady in our church that had epilepsy. And we begin to deal with it, and it began to talk. And I said, when did you get her? When did you come in? And she said, when she was 4 years old. And I said, how? She said, she fell and hit her head, and I took her van. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about somebody that's saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a child of God. We set her free. It's been 7 years, and she's never had another seizure. It works. And if you want to talk about it, You say, those of you that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, you say, well, the world says you can't be saved, but we know it because it's real. He's living in my heart. All right? Then they say, well, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me you can't. It's already happened. And now those tongue talkers say, well, there's nothing deeper. You can't be delivered. Don't tell me it's already happened. You see, we're guilty all the way down the line of saying, stop here, stop here, stop here. Let's go on. If there's limits, let's let God put the limits on it. Are we afraid to put ourselves in the hand of God? Are we afraid to say, God, deliver me. If I need help, then deliver me. When I talk to the Jewish people, I don't say there is a Messiah. I say, go home and pray. Get down on your knees and say, Father, living God, if Jesus was your son, make him real to me. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. Had Christ appeared to them, if we ask bread, he'll not give us a serpent. If we ask an egg, he'll not give us a scorpion. People say, well, how do I know I'm going to get the right thing? I wouldn't accuse my God of that. If you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? If you're hungry, say, God, cleanse me. Father, let that power move in my life that I may be delivered. It says he purges himself. It's something that you seek. It's something that you desire. If a man will purge himself of thee, it's a desire. It's a work. It's something you to do. God's not going to reach down and tap you on the head or force you. God never overrules your own free will. If a man therefore purge himself from these, then will he be meet for the master's use. If a man therefore, the 21st verse, prepared for good work. Preparation. Prepared how? By getting rid of the wood and the earth in your house. By getting rid of the vessels or those housing places, those containers that give you so much trouble. Only then are you ready for every good work. There are those who are destroying themselves because they won't acknowledge, they won't accept, they won't press on in into what God wants for them. And here it speaks of this. Don't approach with belligerence.
But for the grace of God, that's where you sit. In meekness, the 25th verse, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Whenever you deny that there is such a thing as deliverance, you are opposing yourself. In meekness, in love, in tenderness, deal with those that oppose themselves. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, if God will open their eyes and let them see the truth. And this same scripture would apply to a deeper walk as far as the last day ministry is concerned. Pray for them. And in meekness and love, not puffed up and in the arrogant spirit that you know more, but in that love and that sweetness that reaches out towards a soul that, though it may have a crust or a facade over the front of it, that soul that is truly crying out, oh God, I need more. I'm talking about the saints of God now. I'm talking about continuing on with God. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. What's it talking about? In every house there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And if a man will purge himself of these dishonorable vessels, if he will come to himself, if within meekness he will come and realize, and peradventure God gives him the acknowledgement of the truth, and he comes to realize and actually face the reality of his own need, and that then he may recover out of the snare of the devil. For these are taken captive by him at his will. That's deliverance. That's for the saints of God. That's for those that need God in order to be what they want to be for God, or what God wants them to be. That purging, that cleansing, that bringing forth. The very first step is to settle it in your own heart that you want all that God has for you. Fear of man is a snare. I read the scripture where the shepherds are going to be set against a young lion. Bless God, we could go somewhere with that. For that man-child, a part of that lion of the tribe of Judah, that joint heir with Jesus Christ, is feeding upon a prey that it never known before. But the shepherds are going to come against. Settle it that no matter what. God, I want what you have no matter what. Be honest with yourself. Seek those things that are above. Be honest with yourself. Quit calling pride just good upbringing. Say, I come from good stock. Oh, there I go. Huh? Don't tell me your temper is righteous indignation. And don't tell me that your prayer requests are, your gossip is prayer request either. Let's come down to it. In every great house, we need to purge ourselves, that we can be a channel through which God can flow, that we can be what God wants us to be. Now, just one last thing before we pray for people. Be very careful what you say. Be very careful how you speak. For many times we ensnare other people by our own decree. Thou art snared by the words of thine own mouth. Thou art taken captive by the words of thine own mouth. I call it Pentecostal witchcraft. Because I'm in Pentecost, I could call it church witchcraft. But many times we decree things with our mouth that we shouldn't say, you see. We pray things. Oh, God, take the sleep from their eyes, Lord. Take the peace from their heart. Oh, now, isn't that nice? You've determined in your own heart that they are wrong and that you are totally right. And you've spoken something that God can answer. But as a child of God, you've decreed something. Thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. So Satan takes those words and says, I have a right to fulfill them. because it is written in your word, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. And therefore he comes and you have decreed something and he fulfills it. He things it out. And I call it witchcraft. Be careful what you say. Even in your conversation, if you begin to watch what you say, you'll be startled. You say, I mean, in every part of your life. You say, oh, I can't. There you are. You're preaching Satan's gospel. You're establishing Satan's doctrine. What does God's word say? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Except if. No, it doesn't either. What does it say? But you say, I can't. And Satan says, amen. You can't. You sure get it. Lee was picking on you this morning. I saw him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Be careful how you pray. If you want to pray for somebody, say, God, bless them and help them and lift them up. You're very safe. For God says we will give an account of every idle word. But consequently, others, churches, well-meaning people that want to fight and want to come against this last day ministry, decree things, beloved, they decree things that ensnares, that hinders. Then there's the area of curses. Satan uses curses. It's a little more involved. And some of you have been bothered by this. Things that have been decreed, problems, financial problems, physical problems. You know, we really can. We can say, well, sister, you don't look very good today. Are you all right? She says, well, sure, I feel fine. And so somebody hears me say it, and they come and say, are you all right? Do you feel all right today? She says, well, sure. Why do you ask? Well, I don't know. Maybe your color isn't just right. So pretty soon she goes back in the restroom. She says, I do feel. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth. There is something important to this watching what we say. There is something important to watching what we say. But there is also, this applies, and the reason I brought this out, this applies to how we affect those that are around us. Amen? I just knew he'd get drunk again tonight. He didn't disappoint you either, did he? You decreed it. Begin to speak as the oracles of God. Begin to decree things. And don't be uprooted just because Satan puts a little opposition along the line. You see, the dear sister was at the altar praying, God, save my husband. Lord, save my husband. And about the time everybody else is gone, the Lord reached down and spoke to her heart and said, I'm going to save him. And oh, she got up and happy and thrilled and she went home, but she was late. Been at the altar. But when she came in the door, she said, where in the world have you been? She said, Lord, I thought you were going to save my husband. Don't deny in the dark what God's made real in the light. Just because the shepherds come, just because persecution comes, just because pressure comes, just because others say things, don't be denied. Don't worry about it. Beloved, speak again positively. Continue to claim positively. Don't allow your lips to de-establish Satan's doctrine or his decrees. Watch and guard what you say. Thou art snared by the words of thine own mouth. Thou art taken captive by the words of thine own mouth. Quit talking about can't. I can. And you can find deliverance. And you can find victory over those things in your life that have been a hindrance. You can. You can. It is for you. It is God's plan. God's not going to force you. But it is God's will and purpose to make you a channel, a vessel unto honor for His glory and for His praise. Don't allow false prophecy. Don't allow untruths to linger in your mind. But speak as the oracles of God. Amen. Well, am I all right? It says Satan takes them at will. What's he talking about? Same thing. Vessels of honor. Vessels of honor. The hierarchy of Satan. May I have the overhead projector, please? The hierarchy of Satan, I want to take just for a minute because we're dealing in one area. But God is a Trinity and Satan is a Trinity. Satan's purpose is to counterfeit the whole kingdom of God in every way he can. God has a chain of command. Satan has a chain of command. God is the office. And that office of God is made up of three: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. There are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Satan, and I'm not going to take time to clarify this, we'll do it at another time. But Satan is the office. Lucifer is the son of the morning. He is the one that is in charge. The second person of the Trinity is Babylon. And the third person of the Trinity is Tyrus. Ahiba, Eklish, and Baaba. Baaba is two fathers. Ba meaning two, father meaning, I mean, Abba meaning father. Two fathers. And the Word, the Spirit, the Father, the Spirit, and the Word is made up of two fathers. Jesus Christ, who has begotten us, and the Word that is a part of the Father or the Godhead. Of course, Jesus is also a part of the Godhead. But by Abba, and everything under by Abba has to do with physical things. There is an upper echelon, there is a lower echelon. Physical things. Aiba, Lucifer, has to deal with religions, the occult, witchcraft. That is his expertise, his area of control. Eklish has to do with sexual problems, obesity, and things, sexual infirmities. And Baaba has to do with physical and mental infirmities. And so forth. Now, we want to go down into one of these areas, if you please. We talked while we were here last time concerning the zodiac. It is underneath this area. And then the other areas under that, and still in the upper echelon. That upper echelon, you rebuke it. You resist it. You cast it from you. There are one of a kind of the upper echelon. There is only one. Latimer, Eklish, Baaba. They're only one of them. They will not be cast down until the man-child is born and caught over into the throne of God, and then there is war in heaven, and Satan is cast down there. The upper echelon will not be defeated totally until the fullness of the spiritual body of Christ is completed. But the lower echelon, there are many, 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 many thousands upon thousands of them. And we have a greater liberty in battling with those. Even in that area, there's still the chain of command. There are those that are in charge. There are those that are under them. I call them sort of like phylums in botany. You would have a certain phylum, and there is one that is over that phylum, like a cluster of grapes, and there's one that's in charge of that cluster. And this one that is in charge of the sexual things, then everything under it, you see, is related. Now, sometimes another one can be in charge. It's according, the one that's in charge is the one that you've yielded to the most. For they grow as they're yielded to. As you yield to the Holy Spirit, you become an easier and easier channel of the Holy Spirit to flow through you. The first time you brought a message in tongues, you stammered and you stuttered. You got halfway through it. The first time you brought a prophecy, you spoke two or three words maybe and then stopped and so forth. But the more you yielded, the more the Holy Spirit can move through you. Same is true of the satanic force. The more you yield to that particular thing, the more you yield to that temper, the bigger that temper becomes. The greater that temper becomes, the more it grows. This lower echelon we have control over, and we can bind it, we can cast it into the lake of fire. We'll be studying that this week as God permits. But don't I know that there are renowned men in deliverance that says, oh, you can't do that, because somebody says, well, I cast you into the deep of this ocean down in the mud and I chain you. That's not scriptural. But it is scriptural to cast into the lake of fire. Jesus, when dealing with the demoniac, they came to him and said, have you come to cast, don't cast us into the sea. And that word sea there is abyss. He was saying, don't cast us into the lake of fire. Don't, if you come to torment us ahead of time, what is the torment for Satan? To be cast in the depth of the ocean? Or is the torment the lake of fire that is reserved for them for everlasting? There's a postman out there. Somebody needs to go talk to him. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. And the demon powers acknowledged that he could very easily send them to the lake of fire, to the abyss. And they ask for permission. And those of you that wonder whether the God will answer your prayers or not, bow your head and repent. Because if the demons ask a request and Jesus gave them their request, how much more would he answer your prayer? Huh. So we want to deal with an area, if you will. You see, here is Baal or Lucifer, and Jezebel, things, Dotoma is the head of the warlocks, the upper echelon, Aiba, the head of the witchcraft, and then under here is curses and decrees, and curses to the third and the fourth generation, and evil decrees and false confession, ungodly prayers, and then all of these are things taken from pigs in the parlor. I don't want to talk on these this morning, but I want to give you an overall picture. Here is, it continued, the occult and all of the things that are under the occult and in the occult. This is all under Aiba. And then Eklish and sexual infirmities. Percy is the demon power in the upper echelon that is in charge of problems, menstrual problems, bladder infections, cyst on the uterus, ovary problems, vaginal infections, all kinds of things. He is involved in this area. Sexual impurities, Moradam, Moradan, and Nirvana, they're a trinity. You have to deal with them as a trinity. Abnormal sex, masturbation, oral copulations, sodomy, homosexuality, all of these things are under that control. They're in the lower echelon. Eklish continued, and here is an area that we sort of want to deal with, and that is obesity and a weight problem. All righty? We'll deal with that this afternoon. I'll just quickly go with Baal, and under him is Latimer. And Latimer is in charge of fear, worry, despondency, dread, doubt, apprehension, nehas, self-pity, indifference, hurt feelings, pouting, martyr spirit, reino, arrogance, disgust, conceit, haughtiness, pride, ego, vanity, ratu, rebellion, stubbornness, temper, raving, suicide, retaliation, revenge, murder, mica, physical illnesses, legion is under him, mental illness, excuse me, legion is under him, and so forth, and you can know the lower echelon of that. And then Belshazzar, all physical sicknesses such as cancers, tumors. In other words, the upper echelon and the lower echelon. I laid the other one down. Can I find it now? There we are. This is what we want to talk about. Damien is in charge of weight problems. He is of the upper echelon. You rebuke him. Down through every one of these is the root of evil. It is a root like a tree. I deal with it like Jesus cursed the fig tree. Jesus cursed the fig tree and he said, you'll bear no more fruit now or forever. And it was dead from the roots clear to the top. And he said, the works that I do shall you do also. And so I curse a demon power like a tree. I curse its roots, command it to wither and die. I curse the upper part of that tree, the upper echelon, and command it to leave and decree it will bear no more fruit now or forever. And then right after that, he says, ye shall say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea. Now, what mountain is he talking about? The demon powers. For mountains in the Word of God depict force and power and authority and kingdoms and so forth. There's going to be a handful of corn in the top of the mountain on the last day. That's God's kingdom. And so we deal with it in this way. I curse the root, command it to wither and die, and command it to come out. And that's the lower echelon, and that's what we want to deal with today. The God of the belly. the spirit of fat, nervous habit of eating, addiction to food, spirit of obesity, spirit of gluttony, spirit of water retention. King Henry VIII. Now, I have found that lots of times demons will change their names. That's why you find the same name dealing, the same name for the same one in many different names for it. And they will attach themselves or assume a name of somebody that they've really lived through. And King Henry VIII is one that gratified every desire. He had no restrictions. And we have found a spirit called the King Henry VIII that causes you to peace, peace, peace. Go to the icebox and peace, peace, peace. It drives you to not have any restrictions upon or any restraint upon what you eat and so forth. And nervousness, compulsive eating, and then resentment and frustration and idleness and self-pity and self-reward are all things that cause obesity. I weighed 430 pounds. I met my mother at the train station, and she almost walked right by me. She didn't recognize me. Everything I tried didn't work. But only after I brought my own body under subjection did God begin to reveal the full cause and the hierarchy of all of this. All righty? Just because you prayed for does not mean that you can now go home and continue just exactly like you are. You will be set free from that, but if you want to open the door and let it all back in, the latter part will be worse than the beginning. They've found nothing wrong with the thyroid. I was sure it was the thyroid. We're never too hard on number one, are we? Might be ugly as an old mud fence, but we say, look how that curl lays right there. I got to quit doing that. I love you all very much. There's such a sweet spirit here, and we've been received so graciously by the Millers and by everybody here, the Joneses, and all that are involved. And I thank you for that. But let's quit being so easy on number one. Let's press in and be what God wants us to be. Amen. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Glory be to God. We're going to pray for those of you that are having problems with your weight this afternoon. Brother Win Worley was supposed to be the speaker, and so I quickly put this together to continue on in the grain that he would have been talking about in deliverance. And we're going to continue that ministry this afternoon for those of you that need help. We're going to pray, if you please, for weight problems. All right? Now, some of you are slender, but it's because you have kept it all, but you have to fight it all the time. Don't wrestle with it anymore. Come and let us pray for you and deal with it. Brother Glenn, if you'd get rid of the apparatus up here, please. Now, I want those that are having problems with weight and those that feel that there's been curses placed upon your life, we want to deal with those things this afternoon. All righty? Pardon? Well, you come on up. Yeah. Isn't that just like a good wife said, my husband? Bless her heart. Amen. Whenever I want to get volunteers, I pray that the husband isn't there that day because the wife said, my husband will do it. And I say, amen. I put his name down. I know. I'm just having a little fun with it. I'm making a little mileage with it is all. Those that need, I'd like two prayer lines, one on each side, if you will. All righty. Come right over here, sister. And if you just keep the prayer lines back to that side, right there. If you go on back there and stand back there. And just, I'll bring you up one at a time up here. David, come on up. No. Can you back the line up around a little bit so I got some room to work here on the platform, please? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You want to come up? Yeah. Can you back up, sister, just a little bit? I just want you to stand behind these people, all right? Don't get excited if they're slain. God has a wonderful operating table, just as painless as can be. Amen.
Well, I put it on real fast. I'll go home from this meeting. I won't eat for 2 or 3 days. Stop it.
Okay.
But there's no way to do it, I know.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Damien, I curse you now with the curse of the fig tree. I command you to begin to wither and die. Even right now, your root is dead. Your seed is dead. There will remain no root, no seed, no nest, and no rubble. No trace of your kingdom and your place in this life. I break this whole evening right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Satan, you will take your hand off.
Go away.
All righty. Can I have... where's my sister, the volunteer? You come up here for me, would you? Yeah, huh? Yeah.
I volunteered?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you volunteered your husband.
Oh.
I got to agree to eating those orangeness pills, you know.
So what do you want me to do?
I want you to just work with me. That's
sure.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Why don't you place your hand right there.
All right.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, heal even now this gallbladder. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this infection will leave this body right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the nausea, aparonde lebakashanda, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right now. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And now, Father, take Damien, nervous habit of eating, and set her free right now. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. You let go for now, sister. In the name of Jesus. Let go for now, sister. Glory be to God. Just let go. Just let go. Don't worry about it. Saroma ta lenego san da la bakia tai. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't hold yourself up. Somebody's back there to catch you, and God will have a better chance.
Mm-hmm.
My Father and my God, you've begun. Oh, sister, I'm not finished with you. I'm going to be using you. Yeah, you see, I want you behind everyone. You can just sit down, and when the ladies come up, well, then I'll use you. All right? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, continue the work that you've started and fulfill the promise that you've given. And God, this weight problem, spirit of Damien, I command your root to wither and die in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And this whole phylum I curse right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God.
I got too much fat here. I get my fat in the wrong place.
Okay.
I'd like to get rid of some of these old things. It's no good.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, heal these kidneys right now.
My eyes and ears.
Father, touch these kidneys. That's the cause, my sister, of your eyes and ear problem. Is your kidneys are not carrying away the poisons. In the name of Jesus Christ, even right now, spirit of infirmity, I curse you with the curse of the fig tree. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command you, looser, and come out.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
And I have the diverticulatum. I have that kidney disease.
That's what we're talking about, sister.
And I have had injury to my brain, electric shock on the left side, but it's a whole lot better.
Okay.
Left side. It's a whole lot better than it was.
All right. Father, in your sweet love, glory be to God. Shata Ramandara, yeah, you feel what I feel. Amen, sister. In Jesus' name, slip your hands up and just praise Him right now. Just put your hands up. Thank you, Father. Amen. Babako Shaka Ramahaya. In Jesus' name. the rewards of the Lord. I curse this ulcer in the name of Jesus. This peptic ulcer, I command in Jesus' name. The nausea, you will go, you will come out, you will loose her now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your spirit of water retention, I command you to begin to wither and die. You will come out now, for I curse you with the curse of the fig tree. When I reach 10, you're going to the lake of fire. In the name of Jesus, I decree it. 1, 2, 3. You put on all the show you want, but you are going, for I have decreed it. 4, 5. You better hurry. You may wander. You may not touch the household of God, though. You will not touch her children, her family. But in the name of Jesus, you will come out when I reach 10.
Come on.
No. The number is 4, 5, 7. You better hurry. Angels of the living God, stand ready now to take all of this. The spirit of infirmity. 8, 9. Every bit of it, there will be nothing remaining. The number is now 10. Angels of the living God, take all of it. Do you have any towels or something that we could have?
Eat
tonight. I think we all do. All right, we love God. My Father and my God, in the name of Jesus, your spirit of obesity, I curse you with a curse of the fig tree. You've tormented her, yea, these many years. Damien, your root is cursed all the way down through. I command you to wither and die. And you will take your hand off right now. In the name of Jesus, you will take your hand off right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You'll begin to wither and die right now. Legion, spirit of doubt and fear, apprehension, Latimer, I curse your root. And I command this tree to wither and die. You'll take your hand off in the name of Jesus. And the number is 1. When I reach 10, Latimer, and all the lower echelon of fear, apprehension, dread, doubt, you will go to the lake of fire. You will take your hand off, my sister. She belongs to the living God. And in the name of Jesus and Damien, all of the area of fatness and obesity, you will also go. The number is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When I reach 10, angels of living God, I decree that this will be bound, the lower echelon, to the lake of fire. The upper echelon will leave in the name of Jesus. Legion, all of your torment. 6, 7, 8, 9. You better hurry. All that remains, I curse you with the curse of the fig tree. And right now, you're withering and dying. I cast this into the lake of fire. Angels of the living God, the number is 10. Let all of the mental torment leave. Let the obesity leave. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree it right now. Angels, take it all. Ministering spirits for the saints of God. Let nothing remain. There will remain no root, no seed, no nest, no rubble. In the name of Jesus,
hallelujah.
I decree it right now. Glory. Praise the Lord. Come on out. I said nothing will remain. Nothing will remain. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, as part of the finger of God. By the way, the Bible says by the finger of God we cast out devils. Well, you know the ministry of hands. One of the fingers is a part of that hand ministry. By the finger of God, we cast out evil. Amen. That's just the same, by the laying on of hands. And in the name of Jesus Christ, as a part of the finger of God, I curse you, Satan. I curse you, Damien, and all the nervous habit of eating, the obesity. God of the belly, in the name of Jesus, you will wither and die. And I come against high blood pressure. Blood pressure, you will come back to normal. Sister, as you lose the weight, the blood pressure is going to be normal. Just as normal as can be. It is all according to just a little weight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I curse this right now. I command the blood pressure to come to normal. In Jesus' name, there's somebody behind you, sister. Don't worry. In Jesus' name, I curse you with the curse of the fig tree. In Jesus' name. The number's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, all that remains, Damien and all of the Lower Echelon. The Lower Echelon, you'll go to the lake of fire. Angels, take the sword of the word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. The word of God is like a hammer, the break of the rock in twain, like a flame of fire and like a hammer. And in the name of Jesus, I use that right now against you, Damien. And all of your control in this area, in Jesus' name, Micah and Belshazzar, in Jesus' name. Right now, your root, high blood pressure, come out. Glory be to God. The number is 10.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.